Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of, I always want to say issues, another edition of Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lang.
I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, my love?
I am very good. I am AstraZeneca'd up.
Oh, he's joined the Astra Club. I love it. Congrats.
Thanks. Yeah, just after we filmed the show, recorded the show last week, I got a text inviting me to my vaccine appointment, which I obviously took with both hands, and now I'm halfway to heaven. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
How did you find the whole experience? Was you a little bit apprehensive, or was you absolutely like, I know I want it and I'm having it?
I was only apprehensive in a way because of thinking, seeing people talk about the side effects in a way that you might be like, I don't know, just like, it was just, but the process was actually fine. I mean, I got the text one day and I'd booked in for the appointment the next. So it was, you know, it was done very quickly. And I was in the next morning. I'd had it done by 10 to 10. And then I went, popped down Greg's, got myself a yum yum. And
treat yourself.
Yeah. Well, I actually wanted a Tottenham cake, so I was fuming. They didn't have any. But yeah, I had a few side effects. I had I was a bit tired and had some chills. Did you have that, Bob?
I got the tired thing a little bit and I got a little bit of a headache, but I didn't suffer too bad at all. I think 24 hours later was when the headache kind of kicked in and the sore arm, which I think you get with most injections now.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because I had COVID at Christmas and New Year, I don't know if I maybe still had some kind of antibody and I was kind of really lucky with it. But for the sore arm for a day and the headache, it was so worth it. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
I'm so glad to have had it and grateful.
I just feel relieved really and grateful. And I'm hoping that it means, you know, I've got my little card now. It means if we have if I can go to a pub, I'm first in the queue, you know.
Got your first stamp in the old passport.
Yeah, basically that's what it feels like, isn't it? Yeah, pretty good. What about you, Bob? How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
bit of a busy one for you, isn't it, the last weekend?
Yeah, was definitely a strange weekend, what with the last episode of Towie that went out Sunday.
Yeah, so explain it a bit if anyone doesn't know.
Yeah, so anyone who doesn't watch the show, Ep 2 kind of went out Sunday night, and do you know, it's so hard to even try. I can't compute it myself.
Shall I explain basically
what
happened?
Please go, because I'm still trying to figure it out myself. So
basically, so you're good pals with Amy Childs, whose cousin is Harry, who is also your ex-boyfriend. He has returned to the show after a long absence, but you've been a constant on Towie throughout. But Amy wanted you to kind of become friends again. Doesn't seem to have worked, and he is basically trying to rewrite history by what I can tell. You sat down in an Indian restaurant, didn't end well. Is that a good sum up?
Pretty much, yeah. I went for an onion bargee and it ended up being an argy bargee. it is a little bit of a strange one. I won't go into too much, but he seems to have a problem me having a friendship with Amy, who's his cousin, and has said as much to her that he doesn't like it, which I kind of don't understand. Things happened many years ago, the relationship ended, and yeah, he's just tried to rewrite it, which is bizarre because it was on TV what happened. How can you try and rewrite something that lives forever on ITV Hub? No idea, but I'm not sure if that will ever kind of make sense to me. It's just a very, very bizarre time.
And then you kind of said that you're taking a bit of a break from Towie, is that right?
Yeah, so I've decided just to take a little bit of a break. I've got no time frame on it or anything. And I'm really, really hurt and I'm really upset that since the breakup 7 years ago, that it's kind of come to this. I'd kind of dealt with the breakup, obviously. I've had partners since and I thought he had moved on. Clearly not.
You seem friendly in like brief conversations you've had before. Not friendly, but you know, not unpleasant.
Yeah, I mean, he came back and did a cameo on the 10th anniversary last year, back in October, I think, and I congratulated him on his engagement. I couldn't have been nicer. So to now come back to the show and have an issue with me being friends with his cousin and rewriting history and saying all the madness that he is, it's really just hurtful and sad. And like I say, strange. I can't really understand it. So I've just thought, just stepping back from the cray-cray just for a little bit to kind of see if I can make sense of it.
Yeah, fair enough. I think yes, must be difficult. I don't think I would want my boyfriend coming back and changing the way that things had happened. I can totally understand that must be a difficult one. You know, try and piece it all together while you've got some time off and.
Exactly. And I look forward. Yeah, I've got you lovely people every week. So I've got my football family.
Exactly.
Just nice. But thank you, everyone. I have had some lovely messages on social media. And I just want to say, obviously, I can't reply to anyone individually, but thank you very much because I do see a lot of them. And I am really, really grateful. And as and when I return to the show, you'll be the first to know.
Got it. Good. Well, we have an exciting show coming up. We have a bit of an all-boys club tonight, actually. We've got Charlie Brake, who was on Love Island a couple of years ago, coming on to talk about his new venture. Then, very exciting for massive Eurovision fan me, we're talking to our entry this year, James Newman. And then we also have Alex from the first series of The Circle, who won the show and is now basically doing all of the Channel 4 bits and bobs for it and does a podcast. So be great to talk to him. Have you been keeping up with the showbiz news this week, Bob? I know you've probably been a bit, well, you've been part of the showbiz news.
No, I've definitely been trying to keep my mind off my own dramas and have been keeping up. As always nowadays, another busy week in showbiz.
Yeah.
And one of the ones that jumps out to me, Khloe Kardashian, apparently asking her ex, Tristan Thomas, to sign a non-cheating contract. Is that right? I don't
want to quote it. Basically, a non-cheating contract. I mean,
I wish I knew about these contracts. I could have done with that a few years ago.
Yeah, you could have done, couldn't you? Boom. Yes, I think it seems to me a bit of a crazy idea. I don't know how you would, back that up in a court of law.
I'm sure Kris Jenner is furiously typing away at her desk, getting them I's dotted and the T's crossed. But I've never heard of that. Is this like the modern day prenup now?
I thought it just mean marriage. I mean, because isn't a marriage a promise not to cheat on someone and all those things? I don't know. It seems very Hollywood to me, don't you think?
Yeah, to me, maybe I'm an old school romantic, but just being in a relationship is enough for me to know to be faithful. I know some people do struggle to grasp that concept, but I do hope that whether she gets this contract or whether it's just showbiz news, I hope she gets her happily ever after, because I do have a little secret thing for Khloe. She's always been my favourite Kardashian.
She's the funny one, isn't she? And I think she's you kind of root for her, maybe in a way that you don't necessarily always with the others. And she has been extremely unlucky in love. So, you know, yeah, I guess all power to her. The idea of a cheating contract to me, I mean, it doesn't fill you with unbridled hope, does it? You know, like if you're like, right, we're getting back together after a breakup, and I don't trust you, so I'm going to make you sign a contract. I don't know. It's like, it's just a bit depressing, I think.
Yeah, it kind of make me a little bit sad. The fact you've got to go and print it out and go over to him or her and get the pen out and go, can you sign this just to say you'll be faithful? Yeah, it just would.
And get your mum involved and
we'll just get a few lawyers to look at that. Yeah, I kind of just think it wouldn't be going into something optimistic and positive to me. But there's definitely a lot of drama going down in Calabasas right now, because seeing Kim's now apparently doing two different reality shows around her divorce. Is that right? About her £1.6 billion.
I don't know about this. What's this? I've missed this.
So apparently there's reports that Kim's going to be documenting her 1.6 billion divorce from Kanye in two different reality shows, which I kind of did think of all the series they've done to have ended Keeping Up, and then this happens. You could see this would be a huge part of the show. But the cameras have stopped rolling for that. So apparently there's going to be two other reality shows following it.
Okay.
I mean, how do you even sit down and divvy up 1.6 bill? Not even mil. Bill, Christ.
I mean, I think it's, yeah, it's beyond comprehension, isn't it? But then I don't think, I imagine when you have that sort of money, it's not like physically in an account. It's not like it'd be in your checking account, would it? Do you know what I mean? Like on your card. I don't know. I find it's more money than you can ever do anything with, isn't it? So yeah, I think, I mean, the interest in their split is going to be huge. So I am intrigued to see. Definitely, I mean, I'd be watching if there is going to be a show about it. I say that as actually someone who hasn't been a massive Keeping Up with the Kardashians fan, only because I don't have the channel. So it's like I haven't been able to watch it. I probably would have done if I had it. But, you know, it's always one of those ones that, like, you see picked up everywhere, and I always read all about them, so...
And I guess when you're talking figures like 1.6 bill, like let's have it right. We're talking serious dough here. You're not sitting down going, well, I bought that kitchen clock, or yeah. I'm having them scattered cushions. You can have the throw. I guess you're talking more like, not even sofas here. We're talking probably asses,
houses, cars, streets.
Yeah. Empires.
Yeah.
This is why they had the show, though, keeping up, because it is always there is always something to keep up with, and the drama still continues without the show. But well, I guess that's, you say the drama, but then it's very easy for people to look in and invest time into a show like that and see it as drama and stuff. But it's sometimes easy to forget that that's people's lives.
The thing is, though, is it's like, how sorry do you want to feel for billionaire? I don't know. It's like,
oh yeah. I mean, she's doing just fine,
and she'll find a new man. And she's got a really supportive family around her. I mean, they've been through thick and thin, haven't they? So I don't know. Yeah, I'm definitely be intrigued to see what they're coming up with next. Do you know who else though I'm interested in is the story of Britney Spears. So Britney Spears apparently is really looking into telling her side of the story, which I think is going to be quite interesting. Apparently it's not like she set up a big interview with Oprah or anything yet. But I mean, that would be explosive television, don't you think?
Wouldn't it just? Yeah, I'd definitely be tuning in for that. Because you managed to see the documentary really early on, didn't we? I remember you telling me about it weeks ago.
Yeah, so I mean, in that, she's not involved in that. That was a lot of the people around her talking about it, and about her, the conservatorship, and how she's like dealing with life. You know, it's been over a decade she's been, I think, under this conservatorship, and what she can do and say, and where she can go, and the money that she has to spend is all restricted. Do you know what I mean? So I'm very intrigued to like hear what she has to say. I think it would be a massive hit, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, I'm here for it, absolutely. And I think, you know, she probably, especially, let's have it right, I'm sure she's watched it. I think she probably wants her little right to reply, and there's nothing better than getting it from the horse's mouth direct. So that would definitely be a show. I mean, Oprah's in for a busy year. If she can get Britney, she's already had Harry and Meghan. So come on, let's pull out the Britney checkbook.
Yeah.
Oprah's good for the money.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Well, I think our first guest, Charlie, is ready. So let's get him in.
Amazing, let's get him in.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
How you doing, fella?
Long time, Bob.
Yes, I heard you may have had a little chat in an alternative capacity, Bob, just the other day.
Yeah. We did a Get Gobby with Bobby together, didn't we?
We did indeed. And here we are.
Here we are. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
How have you been?
Yeah, all good, mate. talking to Bob about it yesterday. Most of lockdown, to be fair, I've been out of the country, which has been quite nice. I was one of those ones in Dubai for quite a lot of it. But you know, it was quite nice to come back and sort of just chill out and get on with what I've been up to. Dubai was pretty hectic and hairy, let's say. But yeah, nice to just get back and just focus and deflate basically.
And what is it that you've been focusing on?
So yeah, I've got a new venture, which I touched on with Bob yesterday. So yeah, I guess you could say every cloud has a silver lining with the whole COVID and lockdown. So sort of used the time to focus on something new. And then my now business partner, me and him teamed up and started a new business company called Naughty Water, which essentially is sparkling water infused with alcohol. And then we've gone with three different flavors. We've got the cranberry, mango, and passion fruit, and the blood orange. I'm not going to lie. I'm a bit biased, but they do taste the absolute. They do taste naughty. just been focusing on that, guys, really. And that's what lockdown's been for me, really.
I'm obsessed with the packaging of them, Charles. It's kind of very like that vintagey kind of.
We've got some here, actually. Got some
looks good.
We've come prepared. So, yeah, got the cranberry, mango, passion fruit, and then, blood orange. So,
What percentage are they?
So, yeah, we've got 5%, which doesn't sound a lot.
That's like a gin in a tin.
Exactly. But they do creep up on you. But yeah, again, the sparkling water, we've sort of gone for that low calorie sort of selling point. No sugar, absolutely no sugar, no carbs, gluten-free, vegan-friendly, and added vitamin C for good measure. So we've got it all really down here at Naughty Water. So we'll have to get some sent over to you guys for sure.
Absolutely. It's ticking all their boxes. And when Boris says we're allowed and things start opening up, I think things like them little cans, they're ideal for like a little picnic. You can imagine being over Hyde Park or going to a festival, having a couple of Naughty Waters.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, so they're saying, well, with the whole ready-to-drink market, which these obviously are, ready to go. Hopefully, as we say, when Boris opens up, and who knows when that actually is going to happen. It seems like we take one step forward and two steps back at the moment. But fingers crossed, come summer and the floodgates open. Everyone will hopefully be sipping on a nice Naughty Water.
Is it one of them things you've got free flavours now? Is it something that you want to grow, Charles?
100%. I mean, the seltzer market is obviously quite a new thing to the UK. I mean, over in the States, it's been absolutely huge. With where the brand's going, we definitely want to build on the flavours. I mean, looking at the competitors, a lot of them have done that, but me and my business partner, we sort of looked at the flavours that they were doing, and I think they almost overcomplicated them. So that's why we've gone with quite simple flavours, like the vodka cranberry. Obviously, it's quite a well-known one in the nightclubs and people can relate to. And then the blood orange and the mango passion fruit. Mango passion fruit, more of that porn star martini vibe. That has a bit more you, Bob, I don't know. But
you know me. That's exactly me.
Just as I say, yeah, went with the fairly simple flavours. And, they've been a big hit. And watch this space.
Well, definitely excited to try one. If one should come in my pathway, I think Bob said, this summer's going to be a good time for partying. I know you said you've only been back in the UK a little while, but are you kind of looking forward to the summer and like getting back to some normality? How's it been for you, the lockdown?
I mean, I feel quite spoiled in the sense that I've still been able to go to restaurants and do all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's nightclubbing going over on in the UAE.
Really? God, I didn't know that.
It was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, not like you can just walk wherever you want. I mean, you've got to have your own sort of area or whatever, but full-blown nightclubbing. But I think, guys, we're actually going to have the best summer of our lives in the UK, to be fair. I think it's going to... Yeah, fingers crossed, exactly. But I think... I mean, we've got the Euros. I don't know if you guys are into the football, but I think...
I will be if it means I get to go to the pub. I'll do anything.
Wembley, we're there.
exactly that. So, yeah, hopefully football's coming home. I think I'm going to stick around in the UK. Obviously, I haven't seen quite a lot of my mates for a long time with the whole lockdown. I hadn't even hugged my mum for a year. I haven't even hugged her for a year. So yeah, it's been pretty, it's tough, isn't it? It's been tough on a lot of people. But as I say, I think summer is going to be, I think this is going to be it, guys. I think this is going to be the best one yet.
Oh, touch word, Chow. So I said, a lot of people will know you from Love Island, which was, your year was 2018, is that right?
Yeah, 2018. Where's the time gone?
How do you look back at your experience in that villa?
Yeah, I mean, I say this summer's probably going to be the best summer of my life, but that was definitely up there. I mean, what an experience that was. Yeah, it's definitely up there. Having said that, I had to miss the World Cup when I was in Love Island. So that's one thing. That's one thing I do remember. But yeah, I mean, for Love Island as a whole, yeah, great experience. And I think life's all about experiencing lots of new things. And what an opportunity to come about. I mean, how many people actually get the chance to go on a show like that? So in that sense, I felt very lucky. And yeah, enjoyed every moment of it, basically. Yeah, it was a good experience. But then we touched on it the other day, Bob, when you come out, mixed reviews. I mean, you go in and then you come out and everyone's going absolutely berserk and you think, what the hell's going on? And then obviously it dies down, which I think obviously people have struggled with. But again, I think it's part and parcel of reality TV or that kind of show anyway. And I think you've definitely got to have quite a thick skin to go on a show like that.
Has it helped your love life, Chow, would you say, off the back of Love Island?
Do you know what I find? I know, obviously, it's hard anyway to even go on a date. No, you can't do it. So in that sense, I don't really know. But leading up to it, I'd say, do you know what? I think it's almost had a negative effect. I think when you go on a show like that and then you come out and you start talking to a few girls or whatever, I think they start to question what your actual intentions are. Oh yeah, he's probably talking to, I don't know, 10 other girls or whatever. So in that aspect, I think it's definitely not had the best impact. Yeah. So in terms of girls, yeah, quite difficult, I'd say. Which I think everyone would probably think it's the role reversal to go on a show like that. You've probably got girls throwing themselves at you. But yeah, not so much at the moment. And obviously with the pandemic, it's tough.
You kind of seem to make a kind of conscious decision to kind of turn your back on all of that sort of stuff. Do you think that was the right thing to do? Do you have any regrets or?
In terms of what the whole sort of influence
like showbiz kind of, yeah, like that kind of thing. Like,
yeah, I think for me it was to go on a show like that again. As I say, it was just an experience that I wanted to sort of experience, and that was one chapter of my life and I've sort of closed that page on that. But I think a lot of people, they still sort of hold on for dear life, the whole reality TV and sort of trying to stay in the public eye. And yeah, not for me really. I mean, I get why people do it. And obviously a lot of people now, that is their work and that's their industry. But for me, it was the sole purpose really was to sort of go in there, experience it, see what the whole, dabble in a bit of fame. I guess that's the way to put it. So that was always sort of on my bucket list, I'd say. Yeah, as I say, I had a great time, but that sort of chapter's gone in my life and now it's time to focus on something a bit more entrepreneurial and something that, yeah, means a bit more to me. Leave my legacy, if you will.
Do you still get like recognised in the street and stuff? Do you get girls being like, oh my God?
No, again, you got a mask.
Hold a face mask. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, at the moment, yeah. To be fair, no, not really anymore. I mean, who knows when Boris opens up the bars and pubs? Yeah, might get a few more people recognising you. But for the time being, when you got a mask on, it's pretty difficult.
Yeah, true.
And I see, Charles, that you got linked to the lovely Jenny Power recently.
Oh, not this again.
Oh, yeah, this again, mate.
Yeah, Jen's...
spill the tea.
Me and Jen met... Yeah. Me and Jen met at a launch party, probably, what was it? I think that was in between the first and the second lockdown when things started to open up again. Yeah, met at a launch party and, yeah, just got on really well and ended up having a picture with her. And I thought, oh, do you know what? I look quite good in that. I'm going to put that on my Instagram. And yeah, didn't think anything of it. And then lo and behold, next day, Daily Mail, Charlie and Jenny Powell conjure up romance rumours and all this kind of stuff. I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? But Yeah, no, me and Jen, yeah, we're just good mates. And in fact, I did a podcast with her this week, I think it was, or no, last week, sorry. And yeah, just had a good laugh. Hot Mess Mums. Don't know if you guys have listened to that. Yeah, but no, we had a good laugh, and yeah, we just mates. Nothing more than that. Sorry, Bob. There's no more gossip there.
Oh, that's all right. I thought I'd ask you, know, mate, chow.
So it's
he's got the naughty water. What flavour are you drinking?
Blood orange. I mean, the other two are empty.
Oh yeah, you're on it today. You're on it.
No, they were drunk the other day, to be fair. Just that was the other day. But yeah, just on the old blood orange.
Was there anything that could bring you back? Is there anything you would like to do in kind of the world of TV or radio or anything like that that could bring you back to sort of showbiz circles?
I mean, never say never. I think in terms of reality TV, I'd want something that's going to challenge me a bit more. So something along like the lines of, I know everyone says this, but along the lines of SAS, Who Dares Wins. Yeah, definitely that kind of vibe, as opposed to, yeah, just sat by a swimming pool, surrounded by hot girls and not doing much more than that. Sort of leave that sort of area of reality behind, and yeah, something that's going to challenge me a bit more, I guess. So yeah, who knows? Who knows what could happen down the line.
What about a bit of dancing on ice? I've seen on your Instagram, you kind of like the skiing, don't you? Up the old Swiss Alps. I'm sure you're...
Yeah, do you know what? I've never done the ice skating. People say if you're a good skier, then you'll sort of get to grips with it a little bit quicker. But I think it'll be the dancing that'll let me down, Bob.
You do some finger pointing. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, a bit of finger pointing. Yeah, that's it. A couple of lifts here and there. But... yeah, dancing on ice. I think I would. I don't know. I mean, I'm up for most things, but I think even that would be a push too far. I'd be absolutely bricking it.
All about the business. Don't blame your chow.
Yeah,
that's it. That is it. Naughty water all the way.
Well, thanks so much for speaking to us, and best of luck with it. And hopefully, you'll try some at some point. It'd be great.
100%. Yeah, send the addresses over, guys, and I'll get some out to you guys for sure. But yeah, awesome. No, thanks for having me, guys, and really good to talk.
Cheers.
And Joe Chow.
Cheers,
bye,
guys.
Take care.
Have a good one. Cheers. Bye.
I mean, I haven't had a drink for what, 10, 11, 12 weeks now. I wouldn't mind a little bit of naughty water.
I was going to say, I'll bet you're craving a naughty water, one in blood orange.
Naughty water, I don't, I feel like I'm somewhere in between you and Charlie, where I'm a bit like, I don't quite know how to say it. Naughty water, naughty
and
water.
There's quite a bit of middle between me and Charlie.
Still right, nice bloke, nice bloke.
Really nice bloke.
I'm going to move this on quick, Bob, because I'm very excited. We've got James Newman ready to come in.
Let's go for it.
And I've got
Eurovision
questions. Hello. Hi, James. How are you?
Hello, James.
Yeah, good. How are you? Good to see you again.
Really good.
Really
thanks.
Good.
Thanks so much for coming on. I was just doing a little intro to you. I mean, I'm thoroughly excited that you're back. and also back at Eurovision. How are you doing? How are you feeling about it all?
Yeah, good. It's been pretty crazy, you know, like 2 years in the making, but finally getting to hopefully go to Rotterdam and like sing on the stage, you know, it's been mad. So yeah, I'm just really happy.
And the song this year, Embers, is a bit of a free 180, 360, however you say it, from what you did last time, isn't it?
Yeah, totally different. I mean, like, you know, My Last Breath, you know, it was a different time that we were all living in, and we've been through such a rubbish year that I was like, you know, I want to come back with something that's, you know, that's fun, that, you know, that you can like have a dance to, that I enjoy, you know, that I can like dance around on stage to. And, you know, we wanted to write something that felt, you know, that kind of felt like what would be happening in May when people are kind of coming back, you know, like the ember in the fire that hasn't burnt out and people coming back together and reigniting the kind of spark and stuff. So I'm really happy with it.
Have you used this 12 months of kind of lockdowns and stuff, James, to kind of start writing more music? Because a lot of creative people have been saying, actually, they're quite inspired by having this much time on their hands.
Yeah, it's definitely been, I mean, there's been so much time that it's been different, because usually, you know, you spend days going to the studio, like traveling across London, And now it's like you just kind of get up, go in the kitchen and open your laptop and like everyone's there like, hey. So it's been like, I found it like quite productive in a way that you can, you know, you can write a song in 2 hours and you've not left your house, you know, so you can just start to get an idea down. And if it's like, you know, you don't have to finish it right there and then, like a lot of the time you're writing a song and it's 6 o'clock and you're like, all right, we'll get another day in to do it or whatever. Now it's like, oh, let's just jump on for an hour tomorrow morning. And you can kind of work on a lot of things all at the same time. So I found it really productive, yeah. And I've really enjoyed it.
No one's got any excuses anymore, is there? So well, where else are you going to be?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So people go, I can't do that, I'm busy, you feel. What are you busy doing?
Yeah, exactly.
You must be really pleased with the reception that Embers has had from kind of fans and all over Europe, I guess.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, the response has been, like, obviously it's so scary when, you know, you're putting out a song that's representing your country in a song competition and I'm a songwriter and you're like, oh God, I hope people like it. And obviously, like, I'm saying, like, this is our song and no one's, like, got to decide that. It's just me and my team. So, you know, it's so scary, but the response from everyone has been so nice. You know, like, people are saying it's the best song we've had in ages and, you know, everyone's, like, so happy that I've come back with, like, an upbeat song. And, yeah, I mean, you know, the support is, you know, that's the main thing, the fans and the support from the fans and everything. It's been great.
And do you think after the year everyone's had, I guess not even just UK, like globally, this is going to come back bigger and better than ever. And this is going to be like the biggest celebration Eurovision night, isn't it?
It's got to be, you know. I mean, we've had such a rubbish time, haven't we, that it feels like, I mean, I've got to put on a good show. There's a lot of pressure. But, you know, like, people just want to have fun. And, like, that's the amazing thing about Eurovision. It's such, like, a celebration of music and such a big festival of music that I'm really excited to be a part of something that feels like, you know, that can, like, help people kind of escape these, you know, these rubbish times and can, like, just hopefully add a bit of entertainment.
I mean, excuse me for, like, geeking out for a second. I am, like, the world's biggest Eurovision fan. But I do think that there has been, like, a bit of a sea change in how not everyone, but a lot of people view the contest now, because it isn't just... it's not always just, like, these joke acts, is it, that, like, go on and are performing some, like, one, two-step funny performance and blah, blah, blah. Like, it is... the world's biggest music competition. And do you feel like that taking part, you know, that it is different to maybe what it was like when we were younger?
Yeah, 100%. Like you said, like the novelty acts, there's not as many anymore. And it's, I mean, it's a huge thing, isn't it? You know, it's like, it's the second biggest viewed event in the world after the Super Bowl or something like that. So, you know, like 200 million viewers, it's like, it's a really serious thing. And I'm so glad that, like, you know, the quality of songs that you hear are just like such a good level. And it's like, I think it's really important that people understand that, because it's, you know, it, like you say, it's such a massive thing and it's such a massive opportunity for us artists being lucky enough to perform in it. So I'm just really happy that people are seeing it in that way.
Who are your...
I was just going to say, with it being such a huge deal, and obviously it goes without saying that you're going to be excited, but is there an element of pressure? And because it is a big thing to feel like you've got to carry, isn't it? To go on there and see it and represent, like, it's huge.
And then wait as those points roll in.
Yeah, I mean, that's to me, that must be terrifying.
<That'd> be nightmares. Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's loads of pressure, and I try not to think about, like, the scary bits of, like, sitting there and hearing the points read out and stuff. But also, it's, like, really fun. I'm having such a good time, and, like, I'm enjoying every minute of it, and I'm getting so many amazing opportunities to speak to people like yourselves and, like, you know, doing these cool photo shoots and getting to put my music out and singing for people and stuff. So that's, you know, the kind of like amazingness outweighs the scary bits, but there is, I can feel them coming when the closer I get to Rotterdam.
Well, it's all because the point is, at the end of the day, is you've got to get someone to pick up the phone and vote for you, haven't you? And when you've got 40 songs, no, in the actual final there's less than that, I've forgotten, but, like, you know, you've got to have the reason for someone to vote for you, right? But there could be, it could just be one tiny thing that some other country does slightly differently or better, that, you know. So there's a lot of play. What can you tell us about the staging? I'm going to guess not much.
Not much, I can't tell you. I was going to say the staging kind of is the thing that I learned from, you know, getting into Eurovision and doing it for, what, 10 years now I've been doing it for? it's like, everyone's like, the staging is the most important thing because, you know, a lot of people that see you on the night will never have heard your song or seen you before, mm-hmm. ever. So it's all down to that one performance where people see you, so...
Making me a bit hot on that, you're thinking about it.
So it's, yeah, I mean, I think, I can't tell you much, but it's obviously the song's like high energy, so we wanted to make it kind of, you know, represent the song properly, and like, you know, it's going to be a fun party, the whole event, so I kind of want to bring that to the stage. We're kind of lucky that we have to do like a backup performance this year, because in case like you can't go for any reason. So everyone's done like a safety performance. So I got to do that last week, which was in a big studio. It's like a scaled down version of the actual performance. So it was kind of like a test run kind of thing, which was, you know, it was a massive experience because you go from rehearsing in like a community center to then being like on a big stage at the BBC, and you're like, okay, this is it, right? This is real life right now. So yeah, but it's been great.
So you know what you're wearing then? Is it going to be the same as what you've done in your kind of your backup performance?
It was going to be, and then I realised I didn't like what I was wearing in the backup performance, so now I'm changing it totally. But I think that's a good thing because you get to see yourself on stage and think what works, what doesn't work. You know, I can also like, you know, I've been looking back at my whole performance and like kind of going through it with a fine tooth comb. So yeah, definitely.
It's so nice to hear you talking about it like that. I think for UK Eurovision fans, it's not always like that. So it is nice to hear you taking it seriously. Are there any songs that you view as your biggest competition? I mean, Malta seems to be the one that everyone's suddenly talking about.
Oh, it's amazing, that song, isn't it? It's so fun. I love the kind of sax drop.
Yeah, it's good.
Kind of Jason Derulo vibes in the chorus. That's wicked. I love that song. She's great. I loved her song last year, Destiny.
Yeah.
And Jean's Tears, everyone's really like, yeah, really cool. And I really love Victoria, Growing Up Is Getting Old. It's such a great song. Like, it's, that, like we were saying before about, you know, like contemporary songs in the competition now, that feels to me like, you know, it could be a massive American hit, you know. So yeah, and I watched the Melody Fest last week, and Tusa, what a great person, and like a great song. Yeah, I mean, there's loads of competitions. So
and then no also pressure. Possibly Flo Rida this year with San Marino.
Oh yeah, this is crazy. Flo Rida's crazy.
Yeah, so. Yeah, Senhit, who's representing San Marino, might be having Flo Rida on stage with her. It's a bit TBC at the moment, isn't it? That's going to be a bit of competition.
I know. I mean, that's real competition, isn't it? When Flo Rida's on the stage.
I'm sure you're going to smash it.
Have you got like? It's a bit unclear at the moment. I know they've said that basically they're thinking everyone will be in Rotterdam, but I guess it's still a little bit unclear, is it?
Well, obviously, you know, they announced scenario B, which is where we all hopefully go to Rotterdam and perform on the stage with like a limited audience, if any. But nothing else has been said, really. I know that we go there 10 days before and we get locked in the hotel. We can't leave the hotel, yeah. Until we get taken to the arena and like you all have, you're in your separate bubbles, like me and my team, and you get like tested every day and stuff. So I'm going to be locked in a hotel for 10 days. I mean, kind of gutted that I don't get to go and experience, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's the most amazing week ever. And I'm just going to go like in my hotel room, practicing my dance moves.
Yeah, it's a bit of a downer, isn't it, from what it usually is. But you know, if you win, then you know wherever it'll be, Nottingham 2022 will be you
Leeds.
Can be all over it. Leeds 2022 will be all over it.
What are you going to make up for it then?
Have you kind of made any kind of post show plans yet? Like, what have you got like new music coming out or what's the deal?
Yeah, so I've got my next single ready to go, which I want to put out like as soon as I can after I've done Eurovision and hope, you know, like the whole idea for me is to obviously get to perform in this amazing event, but also I'm launching myself as an artist, so I'm you know, hopefully I'll get like a more like people wanting to listen to my music. So yeah, I'll put out my next single, and I want to put my album out this year, which is like, I've kind of changed the direction of it a little bit to kind of fit with how I feel right now. And, you know, everything that I want it to be a bit more upbeat and fun. So that's going to come. And then hopefully, you know, do some festivals, do a tour, you know, like do normal things like that artists get to do. So, yeah,
which now feel like a special treat it's bizarre. Yeah. Well, I'm really pleased to speak to you again, James, and best of luck with the competition. And I hope you do get to go to Rotterdam.
We're going to be there.
Yeah, because it is like an amazing experience. And so best of luck. And we'll be watching on the night, can of lager in hand, flag in one hand, can of lager in the other. ready to go. and just smash it, James. I'm really confident in your ability to do it.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank
you for joining us, James. Best of luck, mate. Take care.
Thank you. Lovely to chat to you. See you later.
You too. Bye, mate.
Oh, a lovely fella.
He's really nice guy, and I think it's nice for like I say, me as a Eurovision nut, it's a bit difficult, but you know, I'm just pleased he's taking it seriously and he's enjoying himself. We actually have James's new song, Embers, here to play. So here it is.
Sometimes I know my fire burns low, but as long as you're with me, I'll never get cold. Day and night, through darkness and light, I never worry when you're by my side. All feelings change. Stop us now. Out of the embers, you and I are gonna light up the room.
You and I are gonna light up the room.
Out of the embers, there's a fire burning for you.
Yeah, there's a fire burning for you.
I feel it heating. There's still a chance for us. Down here in the ashes, yeah, there's something glowing.
We are now ready to get our next and final guest today, Alex, in from The Circle. So let's do that.
Amazing.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Alex. You all right, mate?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Very
Thanks
good.
For joining us.
No probs. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. How's it all going your way? Busy, I bet, with the new series.
Yeah, mate. I have this one period of relevance each year for like a month. So the rest of the time I spend putting my feet up, and then I come back. I'm like Santa, mate.
I mean, yeah. I wouldn't be complaining. I'd be quite happy to do 1 month of work a year and then, you know, lie down. Is that how it works?
Well, no. Yeah, I mean, I have one month a year in front of the camera. The rest of the time I'm rabbiting away behind the camera. But yeah, it's good, man. It's really good. How are you guys doing anyway?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah,
very good.
Thank you, awesome. Mate. All good. Fingers crossed. We're just counting down the days for this... for our restrictions to be lifted and the light at the end of the tunnel, but we're all getting there, so that's a positive.
Yeah, man. I can't wait. I want to just get the beers in.
Yeah.
That's what I'm ready for.
I think everyone's just... I mean, the circle is actually kind of good training for a lockdown. I mean, you're probably... people are saying that to you all the time, right? But it is like a weird, like, well, you're living in a tiny little bubble for a short space of time, aren't you? So it's almost like living how we are now. But, I mean, you were doing it before anyone else.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, let's be clear. This is paradise compared to the circle. living in there, yeah, was crazy. It's a completely different world. I mean, once you get your phone taken away and you don't have any kind of idea what the time is, when you'll be spoken to, when you'll be chatting, anything, you don't have any control in there. So it's quite the eye-opening experience, really.
So it is actually how it comes across, because sometimes I wonder if there might be a producer saying, right, we're going to do this in 10 minutes. Can you, like, something like that? I don't know.
I wish. The only person you would see is like the psychologist now and then, if you were in the need of help at all, and they would come around and check on you just to make sure that you were sane in there, because I guess they see everything through the cameras and like just me milling around, talking to myself, saying all sorts of weird and wacky things. I was playing solitaire against myself for a while, and I cheated against myself. You never know, you can't trust anyone, is it?
So how do you look back at your experience? Did you enjoy it? Obviously, I'm sure it has its boring times, like you say, but as a whole, is it a good experience?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate to have come away with some money, and like, obviously, I think my experience would have been very different if I had lost the game. But I played the game and I won, which just meant, yeah, I didn't have any bad experiences really. Obviously, it was very intense meeting people. But I think now I can kind of throw myself into any situation, having confidence that I'll be able to handle it if I can handle that. So I'm quite happy with that experience. I think in general, though, I probably wouldn't do it again.
Really? Why?
Because
you've done it.
Well, yeah, because
no need to.
Yeah, one, because I've done it. But if they asked me to go back in, I would have to consider it really carefully, because I guess I just wouldn't trust anyone now. The beauty of the first season was we didn't know what to expect, right? So I didn't even know it was on TV. I thought I could just be stitched up here. It could be like a punt scenario.
Yeah.
And I just thought, we've got this geezer playing a woman, and we're just going to wind them
That's
up.
That's actually a really good point. Yeah, you just, who knows? Yeah.
So it was one of those things. It was just like, there's this conceptual show, what would you do? So I just went on and I was like, I'll be a woman because they're more popular on social media. And ended up playing my girlfriend. But as I said, I didn't know that it was even being aired, really, because you have no contact.
So you was like the original, in terms of the circle, the original catfish. Mm. Do you think that's... the way to play the game now? Do you think that puts people at an advantage when they do the series now, if they pretend to not be themselves?
Sure. So what actually really frustrates me is seeing people try to catch the catfishes on the show, because the aim of the game is to be the most popular, right? So I have no idea why people spend their whole time attempting to reveal who the catfishes are, when in reality they should just be trying to make everyone their best friend. So it's, yeah, it is interesting from that angle. I think people being themselves are naturally more vulnerable to the game, whereas people that are playing catfishes have this barrier that they're kind of operating through, which means they're less vulnerable and they're putting less of themselves out there. And I think the people that really get kind of caught out by the game are the ones that are truly themselves and put the whole of themselves on the line for these catfish to... like myself, to manipulate and kind of coerce into winning the game. So I guess that's a benefit in some ways.
And I guess where people have seen you win the show from doing that, do you think that's inspired a lot of players to now, when they're doing the show, think, right, well, it's worked for Alex, we're going to be a Kate?
Yeah, maybe. I think, so well, let's think about it so far. So series one, obviously, I won as a catfish. Series two, Tim and Paddy won part of the prize pool each, and Paddy was portraying somebody that didn't have a disability, so technically he was catfishing. So I think there's a trend so far that catfish are quite successful, which you're kind of seeing in this season, whereby there's tons of them all in the same. So I think we may have set a trend. It's probably not a good trend, but when I get catfished in real life, which I have been, people are using my pictures for on like Tinder and stuff. I feel like
so
I can't.
So many layers of like meta going on there, isn't there?
Yeah. It's like they're just using my pictures to catfish people, thinking like it's a dumb thing to do. It's weird.
You're like patient zero of catfishing.
Yeah.
What did you make of the celeb circle?
Oh, I loved it. I thought the fact that there wasn't any real I guess repercussions to anything was probably my favorite thing, because it's so like lighthearted and fun, and the added dynamic of them actually knowing each other, it was cool.
Yeah, there was there was a bit where Charlotte Crosby was talking to Denise Van Outen, but she was pretending to be Peter Onry, and they actually knew each other, and it was like it's like my mind wasn't being able to like compute what was happening all the time. They did make for some great TV.
And like people that knew each other from other reality shows or that have been on the coach trip together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really cool added element to it. And I loved it. And also having had some of the people on the Circle podcast and speaking to them, it's so nice to have a wider community of people that have been on the Circle and kind of understand what it's really like. Because it's very hard to verbalize that, because I mean, it's even quite hazy in my memory. I'm not sure whether I've repressed it or what, but yeah, it's a bit hazy now, 3 years ago.
It's a huge success. I mean, like I say, I mean, you didn't even know if it was 100% going to be on telly, but it's become such a huge show. Can you see the attraction from viewers now in the concept?
So I haven't actually watched my series back. So I've only watched this series, series three. So I guess the reason I think it's really attractive is that it's shining like a direct mirror onto society, right? Which no show is really done before. I think other shows were very good social experiments, like Big Brother, Love Island's a really good social experiment, but this is directly holding up a mirror to social media and being like, be careful what you're putting out there and be careful what you're consuming, because it might not be the truth.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really important message, and it's done in a fun way, which is cool.
And definitely. Tell us a bit about the podcast that you're hosting. You mentioned it earlier.
Sure. So yeah, Dishonest Fun. It's the official Circle podcast, which is cool. I essentially have like, we pick a topic each week and we discuss it with a comedian, celebrity and an expert. So we actually have some expertise on the show, which is quite good. Otherwise we're just all talking about topics we know nothing about. So it's stuff like we've covered isolation, catfishing, trust, we've covered leading a double life, we've covered coming out as either gay or coming out in whichever way that you do online. So it's really interesting, and I think the topics are so loose that we're able to talk stuff wider than the Circle, but also pull in elements of the show and stuff that I've learned before. There's many different sort of facets to the podcast. It's really enjoyable, and we've had some great people on there too.
So I know you touched upon it earlier and you said you'd have to really think about it, but if they was to do, say in another 2 years' time, like an all-star version, would you definitely rule it out? Or would you think about it?
Would it work though? Because then you'd have to. Some people would be the stars. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, sorry.
But then if you went in as yourself, people would think that. I mean, that opens its own can of worms, because they think, he's not going to be. So people, you could double bluff the catfisher.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Mind blown.
I found that a bit on the celeb one, right? Because I was thinking to myself, if I was going to go on there and pretend to be someone, it was quite clear who the real people were, because with no disrespect to anyone, I wouldn't go on there pretending to be like Saffron Barker or Denise Van Outen. I'd go on as like fucking Brad Pitt, right?
And so, they'd be like, well, is he doing this? Yeah, I get you. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably wouldn't be his first choice to sign up to a reality TV show.
Yeah, well, that's another point. That's why Will I Am failed.
Oh, yeah, true.
But yeah, I think that's an interesting concept. I don't know what I would do if they came to me and said, hey, we want you to come on again. I would think I either have to go on as myself or I have to do something a bit more creative and a bit more wacky because I can't top my previous one.
Yeah.
But then I'm just not sure if I'll put myself through that again.
What would you say are the three best tips if someone was going to go in next year?
So as I said before, don't chase the catfish because you're wasting your time. Try and build like really strong relationships with everyone. I think this game plan should be they used to call me two-faced, but just be two-faced. Like build relationships with everyone you can and try not to get segregated into like this specific tribe. Second would be to really prepare yourself for what you're about to put yourself through. So in terms of, I spent the whole of my time doing a puzzle and reading books, which I thought I took on there for a joke. So I took two books in there. I took George Orwell's 1984 and I took The Circle by David Egger for comedy purposes. And that I ended up with, that's all I had.
So you didn't have any, but to read these two quite intense books.
To read dystopian books about like a future where everyone watches you, right? So that was a mess.
I mean, it's like setting your brain up for a full-on mental health breakdown, isn't it, really?
I mean, it was a close call at times, I'm sure. And then the last, what would the last tip be? The last tip would be to enjoy it. Like, if you do make it that far and you get onto the show, just enjoy the ride because it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience and you'll come out to a community of us who we all stick together now because we can talk about stuff that no one else has really experienced. Like, can you remember being 3 weeks in and like, just being sat there thinking, because we didn't even know when it was going to end. That was the biggest thing.
God.
They're just like, oh, you can go in there and it's going to be a few weeks. But by the time you've got in, like you're 3 weeks in, you're just looking around like, when's this going to end?
Is this it now forever? I'm confused. Like,
yeah.
Very like, Truman Show.
When's the circle going to pop up and just say like, it's the final, you're going to win. So I'd wake up every day just like, please be today. Please. yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, those would be my three tips.
Well, thanks so much for speaking to us.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
And good luck with the podcast. And keep up with the series and see what happens, I guess. It would be interesting to see what you, like you say, though, about how much people try and go for the catfish versus just, you know, enjoy yourself.
Yeah, 100%. It's the game plan that you've got to stick to it and just try and win it at the end of the day. It's a popularity contest, which a lot of people are forgetting the series, but we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it, but thanks guys, it's been a pleasure.
Awesome, thanks so much
for joining us. Take
Have
care
a great
Alex.
Day, guys.
Bye mate.
See ya.
Oh, bless you. Nice. Lovely.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting. And actually a really good point, especially when you do something like the first series for the first time. You don't really know what you're letting yourself in for, do you?
Yeah, just literally, you're just going in there blind to it all, thinking, well, what's going to happen from day to day?
Yeah, crazy.
So I've just realised that by the minute, I don't know what's going on. I look like that girl who ate the bubble gum in Willy Wonka. I look like Beauregard.
Oh, my God, you do.
I've turned into a violet, a plum.
You look a bit. You're in a different room today, aren't you, Bob? So I think.
Oh yeah. Terrible lighting. Yeah. Excuse me. I can't see anything.
You're fine.
Realise it's just been throughout the show. It's just I've disappeared.
It's like you've put on a fake tan, and it's just got more progressively more and more dark throughout the show. Well, it doesn't matter because the show's at the end now, Bob. You can chill out.
You've got a busy week ahead, babes.
What have I got? No, not really. I've got a short work week next week, where I'm going to go out and see some friends because we could do that. Properly, officially. So looking forward to that. But that'll be actually, I guess, after we record the show next week. So no, nothing major, just a quiet one. What about you?
Yeah, same. Bit of a quiet one, I think. Just trying to keep yourself busy, but also having a bit of a quiet one, which is the complete opposite of each other, isn't it? How can you keep yourself busy and have a quiet one? I don't even know if that's a thing.
I know what you mean, though. I do know what you mean. Yeah, I do know what you mean. I get you. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Great show.
Great show. Loved that. Always a pleasure to see you, Steve.
Of course, and you too, babes. Keep your chin up amid all the drama, Bob.
Keep my purple chin up.
Yes, until next week, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye, guys. Stay safe.